One day, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. The people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deeper water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've been working hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, from now on you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
What is the strangest fishing experience that you've ever had? A few years ago, Field and Stream magazine shared some stories about some of the strange fishing experiences people had shared with the magazine. I want to share a few of those stories with you. One of those was of a man who had caught a 10-pound bass in the Brazos River here in Texas, which, okay, what's so strange about that? It was the bait that he used. He didn't use crickets. He didn't use minnows. He used rattlesnake. So if you're looking for a new bait, you might try a rattlesnake. Just be careful when you're putting it on the line there. You can see the snake there in the picture. Another story that they learned about was that there was a family that went out aerial bow fishing. I don't know much about aerial bow fishing, but it's where you are trying to get a certain kind of carp that jump out of the water, and then you try to hit it with a bow. Well, as you can see, they're there, and I don't know if you can tell on the screen, but there is a carp right there. Justin, I see that carp right there. If you notice the trajectory of where it's going, it's getting ready to hit that woman right to the left in the jaw. It hit her in the face and it broke her jaw. Now, how do you explain that at work the next day? You know, what happened to your jaw? Well, this fish jumped out of the water, hit me in the face. You know, really? One final story was of a family that was in Arkansas fishing. They were near Fort Smith, Arkansas. And as they were fishing, they noticed that there was a fish that was right there at the surface. It was alive. It wasn't dead. It was swimming, but it was right there at the surface. It wasn't going down into the depths. And so they go drive over on the boat, get close to the fish, and the guy just literally picks it up out of the water. It was the easiest catch he's ever had before. He just picked it up out of the water. I mean, there's the fish right there. I mean, what a great catch. Well, the reason why it was right there at the surface, because that fish had swallowed another fish. And that fish was too big for the fish to swallow it fully. And so it was choking on the fish. That's why it was at the surface. So he performs the Heimlich maneuver on the fish. And he gets a 2-for-1. How about that? That's pretty cool. I'm not much of a fisherman. I fish every now and then. We fish when we go to camp. I don't have any strange fishing story to top one of those. But one person who does is Simon Peter. He had an incredible story when he met Jesus and had his best and his last day as a fisherman. If you have your Bibles, please open them to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. If you're new this morning, we're studying the miracles of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke because we want to be a church that's a healing presence, and we can learn about being a healing presence from Christ and His healing presence. And so we want to look at this story in Luke 5, a story that only Luke tells. John doesn't tell it, Mark doesn't tell it, neither does Matthew, only Luke. This story where Jesus has just begun his ministry and he's starting to teach a little bit. He's actually started to perform a few miracles. You can can read about those at the end of chapter 4. And because of that, he's gathered up a crowd. And the crowd is so large that Jesus believes that what he needs to do is he needs to get into a boat and get out on the lake so that he can teach the crowd better. And he notices two fishing boats off to the side. And so he walks over to one of them and he just steps into one of those boats and he asks the owner of that boat, can you put out to sea so I can teach the crowd? And the owner of that boat was none other than Simon Peter. And Peter at this point in time is tired because he's been fishing all night and he hasn't caught anything and he's frustrated. And all of a sudden, here's this guy. And I assume that Peter and Jesus maybe had some interactions previously, possibly. But here's this guy who doesn't know real well, at the least, who steps into his boat, intrudes upon his life, and says, hey, buddy, can you put out to sea for me? And yet Peter is obedient. And he puts out to sea. And Jesus, from the boat, begins to teach the crowds. It could have been at this point he taught the parables. According to the Gospel of Mark, he taught parables from a boat to the crowd. And he teaches the crowd, and while he is teaching, he wraps it up eventually, finishes what he was saying, dismisses the crowd. And then he turns back to Peter, and he has another request. A second request. Actually, it's not even a request, it's a command. He says, well, let's go fishing. Let's go out and let's drop the nets into the water. Now, I'm not exactly sure why Jesus does this. I've thought of three potential reasons. Number one, he could have done this because he felt sorry for Peter, because after all, Peter had been fishing all night, didn't catch anything. Now he's using Peter's boat to teach the crowd. And so, hey, I want to do something nice for Peter. Let's go out and let's catch some fish together. It could be, number two, that he knew exactly what was getting ready to happen. He knew that he was going to perform a miracle, knew the impact that it was going to have on Peter, and so that's why he wanted to go out and fish. Or it could be, number three, that Jesus just liked to fish. And so we got some time. Peter, let's go fishing. Let's go have some fun. Well, Peter's tired, remember? And he's frustrated. And he's already helped out Jesus once by putting out his boat. And now Jesus wants him to go put out further and cast the nets. Finally, Peter has to say something. And he says, Master, we've worked all night. And we haven't caught anything. In other words, Jesus, you might know a lot about teaching, but we know about fish. And the fish aren't biting right now. And so it's going to be an exercise of futility if we go out and try to engage in some fishing. And yet Peter again does what he did the first time. And he's obedient. And he says, but because you said so, I'll do. In church, whenever you obey Jesus, it always produces results. And so they go out a little further, and they throw out the nets. And all of a sudden, fish start to stream into those nets to the point where the nets begin to break, which is a problem, right? Because that means fish are getting away. And so he calls his partners, James and John, come on over here and help me with all these fish. And so they come, and they're starting to pull in all these fish, and they pull them into into the two boats, and they pull in so much fish. And it says, according to Luke, that the boats begin to sink. In other words, what Luke is trying to tell us, this is the best possible day that you can have as a fisherman. It doesn't get any better than this, to catch so much fish that the boat actually begins to sink. There's no more that you can do. There's no greater day that you can have as a fisherman. And as Peter realizes what's happened, he has an awakening. He realizes that the person he's sharing a boat with is not simply a good master. He is Lord. He realizes that he is having a divine encounter, kind of like Moses at the burning bush, or Isaiah when he went to the temple, or Ezekiel when he was by the Kabar River. He realizes that in this moment, I am in the presence of God. And when he realizes that truth, it says he falls on his knees. And whenever God would show himself to someone in the Old Testament, there would always be two things that would happen. Number one, the person would become very much afraid. And Jesus is going to address that in just a moment to Peter. But number two, the second thing that would happen, that the person would start to experience a tremendous sense of unworthiness. This is why Moses, when he was at the burning bush, that it said that he hid and he began to give excuses to God. This is the reason why Isaiah, when he was in the temple and he was in this incredible vision of the glory of God, he cries out, "Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips." This is why Ezekiel, when he had this incredible vision of the throne room of God by the Kabar River, that it says that he fell on his face. It's because those three men in that moment realized they were having a divine encounter and they were unworthy to be there. And Peter, in this moment, as he sees this miracle happen before his very eyes, he realizes that he is not worthy to be in the same boat as Jesus. And he falls on his knees and he says, "Lord, depart from me because I'm a sinful man." I know there are probably some of you here this morning, but maybe because of something you've done in your past, or maybe because of some shame or guilt that you carry, you feel unworthy to be seated on one of these pews. But here we are gathered for worship and we're praising God and we're sharing communion, and there's some of us in this building that we just feel unworthy to be here. And if you feel that way, you have something in common with Simon Peter. And frankly, let's be honest, church, all of us should feel that way this morning. Because we are in the presence of an almighty and holy God, and when you realize that you are having a divine encounter, when you realize that you are sharing the boat with the Messiah, the Son of God, it drives you to your knees, and it causes you to say, "I'm unworthy. I am unworthy to be here. Leave. Leave." And here's the good news, church. That when Peter falls on his knees in a place of conviction, realizing that he's unworthy, Jesus does not immediately begin to berate Peter. He does not begin to give harsh words to Peter and to start lecturing him about all of his sins and all of the bad decisions that he's made in his life. And Jesus doesn't decide to leave. He could have stormed out of that boat and said, "You're right, I don't deserve to be where you are. I'm going to go some other boat. I'm going to go some other place." But when Peter falls on his knees in conviction before Jesus, what does Peter or Jesus do? Jesus doesn't leave. And when we feel unworthy, when we feel shame and guilt, I got good news for you. Jesus doesn't leave. He doesn't leave. Instead, what Jesus does is he offers a word of assurance. He says, "Do not be afraid." And then along with that, he offers a new calling. He tells Peter that his life is getting ready to change, that previously he has all been about catching fish. And Jesus says, "From now on, you're going to be all about catching people." Previously, what your vocation was and what occupied your mind and your heart was about, how can I get more fish and how can I take those fish to the marketplace and sell and make money? He says, from this point on, what's going to occupy your mind and occupy your heart is, how can I get more people to know the message of the gospel? How can I get into the marketplace to preach and to teach the message of Jesus. Things are going to change for you, Peter. There's going to be a new calling. And Peter, when he hears this message, like he's been doing consistently through the whole story, he is obedient. And when he gets to the shore, he drops his nets. Even though he's got a boatload of fish, he drops his nets and starts following Jesus. Now, I want us to analyze this story just for a moment. Because I think this story gives us a wonderful picture of the journey of transformation. We want to be a church of transformation, which means that we want to be a church where people's lives are being changed, where people are being formed to the image of Christ, where people are experiencing healing in their lives and freedom in their lives, as we talked about last week. Freedom from the power of sin, freedom from Satan and his grip. We want to see people experience that. Well, in order to have that happen in your life by the power of the Holy Spirit, you've got to go through this journey. And this journey's got three stops. Stop number one is you've got to get to a place of exhaustion. You have to come to a place where you are sick and tired of being sick and tired. You've got to come to a place where you realize, I've been doing the same thing all night, expecting different results, and I still don't have anything to show for it. You have to get to a place where you are tired of no spiritual growth, tired of dealing with the same sinful habits, tired of being separated from God. And if you don't get to that point, you're never going to be on this journey of transformation. And Peter gets to that point. And when you experience this exhaustion, it leads us to a place of conviction. For God to truly change your life, there's got to be a moment, church, where you get down on your knees and you say, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. And if you never get to that place of conviction, we call it repentance. If you never get to that place of conviction, there's not going to be transformation that happens in your life. But Peter got there. And when we come to that place of conviction, now we are prepared for a new calling. I forgot to say this earlier, so I'm going to say it now. That's a good thing about preaching. When you remember what you forgot to say, you can say it later. Peter's admission of sin did not disqualify him from kingdom service. Peter's admission of sin prepared him for kingdom service. And a lot of times we don't think that way. But that is precisely what happened. Because of the conviction in Peter's life, it prepared him for the calling to be a disciple of Jesus. And it's the same thing that happens in our life. When we experience that conviction, that repentance, now we're ready for a new way of life. That's why we are baptized into Christ, because in baptism our sins are washed away, God's Spirit is placed inside of us, and we become a new person with a new way of life, a new purpose, a new calling. We're disciples of Christ now, and we're living for Him. Now, if you're going to experience transformation, you've got to go through all three of those stops, and you've got to go through them over and over and over again. That consistently, as we grow, we come to places of exhaustion where we're tired and we're frustrated, and that leads to conviction, and that conviction prepares us for calling. And then we get tired and frustrated again, and that leads us to conviction, and then that prepares us for another calling. And then we get tired, and we go through that over and over again, and as we do that, what happens is we are transformed. Now, here's my question. There was something in the story that pushed Peter down this journey. There was something in the story that was a catalyst that prodded Peter and moved him from just simply being an exhausted fisherman to a convicted fisherman. There was something that pushed him down that journey. And we've got to have something that does the same for us and for those that we love and those that we know. There's got to be something that pushes us down that journey. And what was it? It was the fish. It was the fish. When Peter saw the fish, that's when he was convicted. When he saw the fish. As the nets began to break, Peter's heart began to break. It's really interesting when you analyze this story. In the first four verses of the story, Jesus is doing a lot. He sees the boats. He walks over to the boats. He sits in one of the boats. He's teaching the crowds. He's talking to Peter. He's just doing all kinds of things. And then starting in verse 5, you'll notice that Jesus stops doing things. In fact, from verse 5 to verse 11, Jesus really only does one thing, and that one thing is that he tells Peter the new calling that he has. That it almost seems that Jesus does a whole lot of work in the first part of the story, and then he stops, and then he lets the fish do the rest of the talking. And those fish actually preach a more impactful sermon to Peter than the one that Jesus gave when he was sitting in the boat. It was when Peter saw the fish that it drove him to his knees and said, "Lord, I'm a sinner." Now, what was it about the fish? What was it about Peter seeing the fish that changed his heart? What was it? I think what it was, I'm not completely sure, but I think what it was is that when Peter looked at the fish, he saw the power of God mixed with the love of God coming from the hand of Jesus. That when he looked at the fish, first of all, he saw the love of God. Jesus was doing something for him. He was a poor fisherman. He had no fish because he had fished all night, hadn't gotten anything. Now Jesus is doing something for him. He's given him a lot of fish. He saw the love of God. But number two, he saw the power of God. He saw a catch that he had never seen before in his life. He saw the best, he had the best day as a fisherman that he'd ever had in his life. He saw the power of God mixed with the love of God coming from the hand of Jesus. And when he saw that, he was convicted. And I think the same thing happens today. When we see the power of God mixed with the love of God coming from the hand of Christ's people, Christ's church, people are convicted as well. I was talking with one of our partners here at Southside this week, and I asked that question. Has there ever been a time where someone just saw something in your life and that convicted them? It wasn't because of something you said, but it was because of something that they saw. And the person thought about it for a little while and said, "Actually, yeah, I do remember a time." He said, "A few years back where I was living, my neighbor came over to me one time. And my neighbor said to me, said, 'You know, I see your marriage and I see how you treat your wife and I see how your wife treats you.' And he said, 'I need to make some changes in my life. And will you help me do that?'" Now, how did that neighbor come to that place of conviction? It wasn't because he had heard a sermon. It wasn't because of some big thing that happened. It's because he saw the fish. He saw the power of God mixed with the love of God working in that Christian's life. And when he saw that, that's what convicted him. And when that happens among God's people, when the power of God begins to work in our lives and people see transformation and they see love and they see mercy and they see grace and it's pouring out of us to the rest of the world, when people see that, that moves them from just being tired to being convicted when they see the fish. When they see the fish. Now, every Sunday morning, I do my best to preach a sermon that'll inspire us and convict us and help us be a healing presence in the heart of the city. But I know, church, listen to me, I know that as I preach this sermon, each of you have a greater potential to actually preach a more powerful sermon this week. That you're going to be around neighbors and friends and people at your school. You're going to be around family members. And you have the potential, through the power of God working in you, through the love of God flowing through you, as you start to live out the way of Christ, people can see the fish. And when they see the fish, they're convicted. They're convicted. Well, I told you that I'm not much of a fisherman, but every fisherman has a story. Probably the best fishing experience that I've ever had in my life was when I was in college. Lindsay and I were dating, and I was we were driving up to North Arkansas to a little town called Gasville. Yes, there's a place called Gasville in Arkansas. And there was a church there, and I was doing some fill-in preaching there. And Gasville is located just right outside the White River. And one of the elders of that church said, hey, why don't you come up a day or two early and come join us, and we'll take you out on the boat on the White River, and we'll just have a day of fishing. Well, the White River is known to be a great place to catch trout. And this elder, he was one of those guys who had been on the river a whole bunch, and he knew the places to go. Don't you love those kinds of people? Oh, you love those people. He knew the coves to get into. He knew the little hideaways. Anyways, he takes us to all these different places, and we would put out our fishing line, and it was one of those days where you put out the line, and the fish, I mean, they weren't just biting. They were just jumping, and they were just jumping into our laps. I mean, it was just wonderful. We put it in, and we bring in a trout. Put it in, bring in another trout. We just filled up our nets and our boat with trout. It was wonderful. We went back home, and his wife took all those trout and fried them all up, and she made hush puppies, and she spread this incredible spread of for dinner, and family came over, and we just had this wonderful fish fry, this wonderful result of the day. Maybe you've had an experience like that before. Actually, I have a picture in my office of Lindsay and I holding a big net of trout from that day. It was a wonderful day. But let me tell you something. Do you know what made that day special? It wasn't just that Lindsay and I got to catch a lot of fish. It was that this family, they loved us. They took time to be with us. They shared their life with us. They cared for us. And we saw the power of God mixed with the love of God flowing from them to us. And that blessed us. That moved us down the journey of transformation because we saw their fish. We saw their fish. In church, there's a lot of people in our world that are tired. They are tired because they've been up all night doing the same thing over and over again, and they're not catching anything. And what they need is they need a brother or sister in Christ. They need a disciple of Jesus who can come alongside of them and can be a witness of the power of God mixed with the love of God to flow out of them. Because when we do that, they will be convicted. And so maybe if there's someone you're trying to reach out to, maybe you don't need to preach a sermon. Maybe you need to let your fish do all the talking. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for this story of transformation that happened in Peter's life as he went from a fisherman to someone who was a disciple of Jesus. We're thankful for this miracle where Jesus showed the power of God and the love of God and how it convicted Peter. And Lord, we're thankful for the times in our life where we have seen the power of God and the love of God, and it's drove us to our knees because we realized we were in the presence of the Almighty. And Lord, I pray that you would help us as we go out this week to show the fish, to show the work that you're doing in us, to show the transformation happening through us, to where those around us, they too will be convicted and will seek you. And Lord, I know there are some of us here this morning and they're tired. They're tired. They've been up all night fishing and not catching anything, and they're searching and they're hurting and they're frustrated and worried. And Lord, we are so thankful that we are here now in the presence of a holy God, and we cry out, we are unworthy. And we pray that you would come and that you would minister to us now. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and we all say together, amen. We're going to have our time of invitation. Ministers and elders, a couple of their wives are going to be available for prayer. If you are that exhausted person who needs to move down that journey of transformation, you need prayer and encouragement, walk to one of our elders during this next song. Share with them what you're going through. Let them pray over you. Or maybe you're ready to be baptized into Christ to start that new walk, that new calling, that new way of living. And following Jesus, if you're ready to take that step, just come to the front during this song. We'll help you. Please come now as together we stand.